This is the apathetic American from California. I'd like to challenge the angry German from Austria to a fist fight because his voice annoys the hell out of me. Derp.
You are listening to App Slappy Podcast with Scott and Eric.
Attention.
Scott and Eric.
No.
Derp. Hey everybody, welcome back to App Slappy. This is App Slappy, episode 42, the podcast for App Store addicts, covering all the hot news for your iPod, iPad, or iPhone news. I'm Scott.
And I'm Eric.
It's Tuesday, April 13th, 2010. Welcome back everybody to another action-packed episode of App Slappy. We're thrilled to be here. Lots to talk about. Big week this week, eh?
Tons.
Can you believe what we had happen and what came and went? Wow.
I know.
Right on the heels of the iPad launch. Big stuff, so let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it.
News!
Hey, everybody, welcome to the news. Big news this week. Let's start with, oh, holy crap. I think we'll start with this little tiny announcement Apple may have made about iPhone 4.0 OS upgrades.
Yeah, and this is also going to be our special update corner for this episode.
Yeah, because there's a lot here, and so we're going to skip some other pieces of the show so that we don't kill you on time, because we think this is going to take a little while to talk about. Maybe we're wrong, we don't know, but we'll find out. iPhone 4.0 was announced by Steve Jobs up on stage for a special press event last Thursday? Wednesday? When was this?
It was Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, maybe. Or Wednesday, maybe. But anyway.
Thursday.
While I was out of town, unfortunately. So I had to kind of...
Yes, you had to get all the news on your little iPhone.
I did. I had to use my iPhone while I wandered around checking updates on, I think, GDDGT.com had really good coverage and a great auto-refreshing thing happening in Safari, and it was great. So big props to them. Anyway, let's talk about what we heard, because who cares about how we heard it? Let's talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's start with the big thing.
Mini
tent poles. It's a big freaking tent. First thing announced, not first thing, but one of the more important things, was multitasking. And we had predicted on the show, and it had been rumored for a long time in various blogs and other people making speculation, that the phone would support multitasking in some form. And it turns out they were right, but it isn't exactly like run all your apps at once. It's not your traditional definition of multitasking. It's giving developers specific hooks and tunnels to be able to do things in the background. So, for example, the long sought after idea of having, say, Pandora playing music. Sorry, let me kill that alarm. Pandora playing music in the background is now going to be a possibility. So, Eric, you no longer can complain that you got to shut down Pandora in order to go do something else, which is great.
That's awesome.
Are you surprised about this?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about it? About streaming or about multitasking?
Like, no, it's just, I think it's awesome. And I think they're doing it the smart way with to conserve battery life, because, you know, it's funny. My wife just picked up a Droid a couple weeks ago. And every time I see her with her phone, she's like, oh my gosh, you got to recharge my battery again?
Yeah. Yeah. Battery life on a Droid's not so good. It's not great on the iPhone either.
Yeah. But
hopefully this won't kill it. I mean, all we're really asking it to do, and this is the important hitch here. They're going to let somebody like Pandora continue to stream behind whatever new application you're running. Let's say, I don't know, let's say you're opening Skype or something. Or whatever application you're opening. You'll still hear Pandora in the background. And you'll hear that because what Apple is saying is, all right, we'll allow this sort of audio pipe to stay active.
Well, it's kind of like what the iPod does right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. The iPod application that plays your music in the background. It's the same kind of idea. They're going to allow that
to
happen.
They're giving that ability to developers now.
Right. But then the best part is it's not going to allow Pandora to run a bunch of background cycles on the CPU that are going to kill battery. So really, it's just allowing this one little piece to slip through. And thankfully, that's a piece that a lot of applications would really benefit having some sort of multitasking with. So that's very cool. Another one is voice over IP. So finally, in theory, I should be able to do other things while my Skype app is still running and detecting incoming calls or chats, be able to hear those and answer them.
Yep.
All this according to Steve, which means this must be okay with AT&T.
Well, you got to figure it's probably limited to Wi-Fi. You have to have a Wi-Fi to do it.
Same. Yeah, exactly. You still have to have Wi-Fi, but that's true now.
Yeah, so that's not really changing anything.
Right, right. It's still, I don't know, just seems like now
but
it's
giving a new feature that you actually don't have to be running Skype and you could get a call when you're inside your house and not have to use your AT&T minutes.
Yeah, this is huge for me. I use Skype a lot,
you think about it, who really goes over their minutes anyway? So
nobody. Nobody. It's a big yank. So I'm very excited about that particular thing. Background location services, so being able to sort of track where you are via satellite all the time instead of only when the application, pings it. I guess that's an advantage if you are trying to, you've got something that tracks your position for navigation or something, and then you need to switch over and look at a recipe in some other application, and then switch back and have it easily just kind of have already sort of followed where you were and doesn't have to kind of relocate you. So that's good.
I'm sorry, I have to stop you. We have a Yoshihide.
A Yoshihide.
Who's like typing in the chat room in some kind of Japanese.
Oh, well, that's easy. Just ban it. See you, buddy.
No. I mean, it's like, I don't know why he's like, nobody can read his stuff.
He's banned anyway.
Why did you ban him?
I don't know.
You don't know what he was saying.
Gut reaction.
Oh my gosh, that wasn't nice.
What if in Japanese he was saying, Scott and Eric suck sushi butt or something like that?
Oh.
I just did you a favor.
That wasn't cool, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on. What else? Oh, push notification.
The whole push notification, the whole experience is going to improve immensely on the iPhone now.
So tell the people what you perceive those changes being and why that's so awesome.
Because it does local push notifications. And now if you set like an alarm for a to-do list or something like that, it no longer needs to go out to a server and have a server deliver that push notification now. So now you're going to have your alarms and pop-ups be done on the phone locally. So because sometimes you don't get your push notifications when you need to,
So do you like Things a little better now? Because that'll be there.
I don't think Things is going to incorporate it.
Yes, they are. Of course they are. This is easy. If it's local, piece of cake. I guarantee
you
will.
I know.
Yeah. The only downside of any of this is the iPad's not getting this crap till fall.
Yep.
Bugs me.
But you got to figure, the iPad has some of this stuff already.
Like what?
The wallpaper in the background.
Oh, yeah. True. It's also got the lay it sideways thing.
Yeah.
I wish I had the folders thing. That'd be cool. It doesn't. And we'll get to that in a minute because
you got Bluetooth keyboard also, iPad that's going for it.
Yeah, that has that. That's true.
Thank you, Foamy Skin King.
What? Foamy what?
I'm looking at the chat.
Oh, you're so distracted by that chat room.
I'm just saying he said a Bluetooth keyboard. It reminded me, all right?
Hey, it's all good. I love those guys. Ban. Just kidding. moving on to background. Oh, I already talked about that. Let's talk about task completion. So that's kind of part of that push notification thing. Fast app switching is interesting. Kind of like, the way that they showed it was like you're in the middle of tap-tap. Was it tap-tap revenge or something they were playing? And they, you triple tap or double tap the home button. And
double tap.
Was it double tap? Okay. And then up came the almost like a dock. The lower dock with your applications in it.
Yep.
And you could run other stuff. So some kind of cool stuff there, I thought. The one I'm most excited about and the one that you predicted right here on AppSlappy is folders.
I did.
How awesome is that? That's going to save our lives, dude.
That's the app.
I mean, I'll probably have one page of apps now. honestly, because most of my
stuff, you can hold like what, 2,000 apps now.
Yeah, and the thing is, I already, you know, most of my apps are things I could categorize under games, and then a chunk of them under entertainment, and a chunk of them under maybe productivity or something, and then a handful I want kind of out and accessible all the time.
The thing about you is you're going to have two game folders because you're going to have too many games.
Well, what's the limit on the folder?
12 per folder.
So I'd have to like game one, games two, game three, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
That's not bad. I still think I'll be about a page.
Yeah, it's better than not having folders.
Well, yeah. I'll take this any day. That's a much needed enhancement. I'm glad that's coming. Eric called it. Way to go. Various mail enhancements.
One big, huge email mailbox that takes all your mailboxes, combines them into one.
Unified mailbox.
Great. Or you could call it that, yeah.
Yeah. I like your great big mailbox. That's even better.
For me, I'm not going to use that feature.
Why not?
I could separate my work from my personal, from my, you know, other accounts. I don't.
Yeah,
like
but
to,
if
like,
they have but if they let you do a send from feature, that's cool because then you could still send them. You could still reply from whatever you wanted.
You can do that now. Yes, you can.
You can.
Yeah.
Oh, how did I miss that? All right, never mind. You'll have to tell me off the air how to do it. I don't remember. I could have sworn you couldn't do that.
You click your from when you're typing in an email, and then all your email addresses come up.
That's it?
Yeah.
Why did I think you couldn't do that? Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? The Gmail web version off Safari. Whereas, you know, on the desktop, it lets you do the send as. But it doesn't in the Safari version, like the web mobile version that they do over Safari. That's what I'm thinking of.
Because you're not using your default mail application.
I go back and forth. Don't ask me why. I don't want to explain.
Well, didn't you see that thing? Did you try setting up your Gmail account using a different mailbox to get all the features of Gmail?
No.
Sean Coons posted something on Twitter like 3 weeks ago or something.
Oh, I should check that.
Set up your Gmail account as an other account when you're setting up an email account through Mail, and it can give you some of the features that Gmail has.
Oh, all right. I'll have to go check that out. Very nice. Good tip, Sean Coons. Moving on to, we did folders, mail enhancements. iBooks, of course, coming to the phone. That was a no-brainer. We knew that was happening.
It was kind of not that big a deal.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'll read them on the iPad, but not on the phone. Game Center, this is a huge issue. We could do a whole show on this. Basically, Game Center is this. It's Xbox Live for your iPhone and
pretty much covered on the final score, so I don't even know why we need to.
Well, I don't know how many people listen to that, but but yeah, I did. We covered a lot of this on the final score at finalscoreshow.com, my new video game podcast, kind of a reboot of a show I used to do.
I can't believe you're doing another podcast.
Oh, it's easy. Piece of cake. Game Center is Xbox Live, pure and simple. It's a
PlayStation Network.
Yeah, it's matchmaking, leaderboards. All of those, but it's not necessarily, it's not for us as consumers, it's for developers to develop for. So when they make their games, they'll use this as their achievement system stuff, and there'll be achievement stuff. They're even doing points like Xbox Live, so you'll have kind of gamer points.
It's basically going to replace OpenFaint and the Plus Network.
Well, yeah, it'll replace them in that it'll make them obsolete. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I read an article about the OpenFaint guy. He was like, you know, I'll help Apple out if, you know, whatever. I know it's going to be a transitional period, but you know, he sees the writing on the wall. He's cool with it.
Yeah, he seemed all right with it. It seems like he kind of, I read that article too. It seemed like he kind of knew that they were getting into a part of this business that they knew it was really possible that Apple would swoop in and take over and do it. And that's too bad, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, what are the NG Moco, Goko, whatever their names are, those guys that do We Rule, what are they going to do? Because Plus is theirs. They own that.
Oh, is the NG Moco Plus?
Yeah. And they do We
Rule. I know how they use it, but I didn't know they owned it.
Yeah, they literally own that property. I think they bought it from whoever originally started it. So I don't know if this means things for them. Like, will We Rule continue to just run on Plus? And there's enough of an established bunch of people on there that don't really care that Apple's doing this, or would they move over to something that's got the unified Apple thing? I don't know.
It depends, I guess, to see, you know, what the benefits. I mean, honestly, I guess if they got people in their games buying their games, I don't think their whole network, gaming network thing, is going to be a big thing for them.
No.
As long as, you know.
Looks like it's big changes coming that way, and I'm excited about it. As a consumer, I think Game Center is the right move. I think it's great. And I think it's, I said this on the final score, but I believe that Sony and Nintendo need to get their butts in gear and do something like this, or they're so far behind the eight ball on portable gaming. I just don't know why they're not doing it, why they haven't been doing it for years. Both those devices have been internet connected devices since their launch in 2004. There's no reason why there isn't already something like this. Now, sure, you could argue the PSP has what it does with the PSN and how it interfaces with the PS3 and how you can download games to it now and all that. And maybe even more so with the PSP Go, but nothing like this. And I don't know why it took them so long. I really don't. Or why they still haven't. Just weird to me. Anyway, Game Center is a game changer. Keep your eye on that. Lastly, the one controversial thing, I think, that Steve got up and announced, it was iAds. My only real controversy is why they have to name it that. That's dumb. iAds. That's dumb. That sounds terrible. iAd. Ugh.
They didn't
call a Game Center, they didn't call that iGame or something, and that even sounds better.
Probably because iGame's probably copyrighted, I bet.
Probably true. Well, anyway, iAd looks like a typo of iPad, which makes me laugh a little bit. Ah, we left the P off again. iAd is designed to send to give an infrastructure for developers once again to be able to deliver ads and add content in their free games. So games like Words with Friends, the free version, could tie into this network and have ads run through there and do it in a really simple way. They'd be really dynamic, rich ads in terms of their kinds of content and delivery. And a lot of people are like, I don't want any more ads. This is just a step to give us more, you know, advertising we don't want. I don't see it that way at all. This is just...
I don't know. I that's the thing is, like, it blew my mind, all the response I was getting from my ads. Like, oh my gosh, our applications are going to have so much ads. And I'm like, dude, our applications do have ads in them right now.
Yeah, the free stuff already does. The free stuff already has ads. And they're not going to change it so that you have to sit and watch 40-second commercials when you play your games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at freaking Wii Rule. There's ads running at the bottom of it.
Yeah. Yeah, stupid.
So people, there's ads in them right now. This is just Apple getting into the ad game. It doesn't mean, and what they're delivering is more interactive and better ads.
Yep. You think they'll make a bunch of money from this?
Yeah, they're going to make money for sure. I mean, what is it, 60-40, the split there?
It's cash cow for Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 60-40 is pretty good. 60% in favor of the developer.
Yes, the developer gets 60 and Apple gets 40.
That's crazy. But I think that's kind of industry standard, I'm being told. So to me, it seemed like really generous, like to give them more. But apparently that's the norm. That's kind of what people do.
Well, you're pretty much, the developer is pretty much selling space in their application to Apple, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, they are. They're saying, here's some billboard space.
Here, Apple, use this to do your advertising. You know, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, I'm excited that it's going to give more rich media and more of an experience than just like the horrible ads that are in that thing. And for me, who knows, the future in my industry, it's probably going to have a little effect. I was going to say
this has probably more interest to you than it would to most, because you guys are looking at this sort of these kind of new delivery methods for getting ad content to people. So something to watch. I don't really think it's in controversy at all. I think it's just something new and a new way for developers to make money and keep their apps free. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah. So
if you're a developer who charges and then put iAds,
then you're a bastard.
Yes.
Well, yeah, if they do that, then that'll take care of itself. Yeah. If somebody comes out with a pay for app and it's covered in ads, guess who won't be buying their app? Everyone. That'll just piss everybody off. So
the comments will be, don't buy this app. It has ads and you're paying for it.
Yeah, but see, the notion that that's going to be more likely with iAds than it would have been before is ridiculous because you can already do that. You can already screw us by doing that. Yeah, there's nothing
Google
holding you back.
There's Google mobile ads and there's AdMod.
Yeah.
AdMobile or whatever. There's companies out there doing this right now.
Yeah. All they're saying is, so it's not like that's not all going to change and suddenly ads are going to be in everything. They're just saying we'll be...
Apple's just getting into the game, and they're going to make it a better
business. Right, right.
Yeah, they're just going to make it a better experience. You're not going to have to leave the app. You're not going to go to a website. It's going to stay within the app, and it's going to put the art back into the world of mobile ads. You know, instead of having
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So
I think it's funny that I don't know. I just think it's funny how people flip out about this stuff. But it's, you know, this is Apple's one way. If they do want to get into the ad revenue market, which right now is Google's domain, dude, they have a stranglehold on that.
Yeah, I think here's, this is Apple's little
it's their backdoor in.
They shot off the bow to Google saying, hey, you got into the phone industry. We're going to get into the ad industry.
Yeah, right here. They're just going to sneak in.
Yeah, now like Google's coming out with their iSlate or their tablet computer.
I don't want to think about it. I wish, you know what, I was thinking about this earlier, before we move on to the next bit of news, I wish Apple and Google were working together more closely, the way I felt they were in the first year of the phone. I wish that was happening more, because I love Google products, and I love Apple products. I would love to see more Google-enhanced stuff on my phone and on my iPad. I wish that there wasn't all this current animosity between the two companies. I understand why there is. I get why they're competing. In a way, I wish like Google would quit dorking around with their devices and trying to wedge themselves into this market. I wish that Apple would quit kind of dorking around and trying to get into the ad market or whatever. I want those guys to make nice and make great products for each other's stuff because yeah. I really like it. Like it. I mean, if you say to me, hey, Google's making a new, you know, tablet, and it's super thin and amazing and does all this stuff that the iPad doesn't or whatever, I would be genuinely interested in that thing. But I don't want to be because I can't afford it. I can't afford to have two of these damn things. What I want is the really great, elegant Apple solution to stuff with really great Google stuff to run on it. That's what I want.
Hear, hear. I just want to get, how about we get Apple, Google, and Adobe to work together? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That ain't
going to
happen anytime soon. That Adobe thing, oh, we'll talk about that in a minute. There's stuff going on with that. So other news, beside this big announcement, which is definitely the big news of the week, let's talk about Twitter acquiring Tweety 2. This is an official announcement by Twitter that they have acquired Tweety 2, all of its assets, maybe even the developer guy, or they bought him out. I haven't read his comments yet, but I hear he's saying lots of good things like, don't worry, the Mac desktop version is still in being improved and developed. And they are not going to charge for this new thing. So essentially, Twitter buys Tweety 2. That will now become, and all future versions will become, the official Twitter app. It will be free. And there's some presumption that it will be on multiple platforms. So you'll see this on BlackBerries. You'll see it on the Droid, Android operating system. And, of course, on the iPhone. I think that's great.
Yeah, the other Twitter application developers didn't like this news so much.
Mm-mm. Well, think about it. Like TweetDeck, who already does a free, you know, their app's already free. They have to be like, just kind of like, ugh. You know, like, because basically what Twitter's doing is they're saying, all right, here's arguably the best Twitter application already on the platform that people are already paying a little bit of a premium for. And we're going to make it free, official, and we're going to promote the hell out of it. It's going to kill those other guys.
Well, the only thing, you know, the other guys are just going to have to make great, you know. I mean, it's possible, even though Tweety, you know, because it's totally possible for another developer to make a better product than Tweety.
Well, of course. This is all we're talking about is just pure competition. If everybody else was as good, then, you know, if Twitter really thought TweetDeck was knocking it out of the park, they would have approached them and bought that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's not, I mean, it's, I don't think it's, you know, I mean, it's not going to help the developers, but I don't think they're totally out of the game.
No, it's made the best man win, dude. Yeah. Business ain't fair. You got to work hard.
I mean, it's look like, you know, look at the, you know, like a lot of people don't use Safari.
Right.
You know, right. you use Chrome, right?
I use Chrome. Yeah, I have Firefox in other cases when I need certain other things.
And the official, you know, web browser for the Mac OS is Safari, right?
Sure. Sure. So, yeah.
What a great example, Eric. Thank you.
Impressive. I'm blown away by your astute observation. All right. Speaking of Adobe. Anyway, that's your Tweety 2 news. Excited to see how that goes and when we get that. And the iPad version's coming, I guess, real quick. So very excited. Adobe preparing legal assault on Apple over Flash feud.
Man, this so is getting ugly.
It is getting ugly. And you knew it would be when Steve got up in the question and answer portion of this thing last week. So the whole announcement about 4.0 comes out. He sits down for Q&A with his bottle of water and his two buddies, and they do like they always do, and they take questions. And they're all very good questions with very articulate answers that they're giving back. Yes, our plan with Game Center, blah, 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 blah. And they're doing this great kind of give and take with the with these reporters. Somebody says, has Apple raises his hand and says, has Apple's stance with either the Java platform or Adobe's Flash platform changed with any of these new updates? Steve looks right at the dude and says this. No. Next question.
Next question.
That freaking hurts, dude. I mean, you know those guys at Adobe are just like, oh, you know, they're having no, this.
The thing that put, you know, they weren't expecting him to change. What pissed them off, what really was the last straw that broke the camel's back, was in what's in the new developers agreement.
Yeah, which kind of basically locks them out, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much saying, you know, if you guys haven't read the news, you probably, if you've been living under a rock, but it pretty much says Apple will not accept any applications that were programmed with Flash and then compiled to get translated in for the iPhone.
Right. They say the SDK developer agreement rule says you cannot use cross compilers like Adobe's Flash Packager for the iPhone, which basically converts Flash apps into native iPhone apps. The updated language for the iPhone OS SDK essentially bans any iPhone apps that started their lives as Flash applications. And that is not sitting real well with Adobe, according to this article. So you have to kind of ask, why are they being... this is a pretty dickish move on Apple's part.
The thing is at first I was like, what the crap, Apple? Why? And then I started thinking about it. And then I started reading articles from developers. I mean, there's some developers that are like totally just going, I'm out of here. No more Apple, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And there's other developers like, hey, I totally understand where they're coming from. Flash has been around for a long time, right?
Yeah. Macromedia sold it to Adobe a few years ago.
Yeah, a lot of people know how to program it in.
Yeah.
And the problem is, so they have a head start in the whole like development of applications, if you will, right?
Sure.
If that becomes the most popular programming platform for the iPhone, that is like that's like for somebody who like programs something who programs everything for the Xbox 360, but it just ports it over to the PS3, which never really is the best for the PS3.
Do you also feel like it's like this conversion tool that Adobe provides these developers, you feel like the developers are kind of just riding on the coattails of the iPhone architecture by just saying, doing the easy thing, which is taking their old Flash app and upgrading it to this in a simple way. And that's just doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty much what it is also is Apple loses control of their environment, their those special things they put into their developing kit that makes the iPhone special.
Yeah.
So they're losing control of that. Then also what happens is that so the guy converts a program for iPhone. He converts one for Android. He converts one for the Pre. All of a sudden, all the devices are running all the same applications that look the same, that feel the same, that do the exact same thing. So there's nothing special about that application.
Yeah.
So you're not using all of that part of the application or the operating system. Like, you know, I don't know if this Flash thing that comes out, does it support the multitasking part of it? Does it support all this other new APIs that are coming out with 4.0?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I can see how they're like, hey, we don't want those crappy applications on our phone that are not taking advantage of our, you know, who have not been programmed and and really thought out and well designed using our own little APIs to make the experience of that application more of an iPhone experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What I would really like to do, and if anyone is listening and is in this community, I would love to talk to a developer out there who could give us either the position of Adobe and defend that, or the position of Apple and defend that, or both. Because I'd like to get an insider's thing. I don't think we ever, on the outside, we don't ever get the nitty gritty of this.
So
we don't know.
I don't know. It's interesting. So I can see like why developers are pissed off, but I also can see why Apple's taking a stance against, because they want a program that will, you know, fills and uses their strengths of their phone and not just and have a vanilla application that's on all platforms type of thing.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, and Steve is like, I was thinking about it. I was like, what if that, like, so many developers move away from, is the iPhone going to turn into like the Mac?
Right.
So where the Mac is like, it's not the biggest, doesn't have the biggest, you know, market share of computers by any means, but it seems to be, it has this, a premium type of thing or a high quality type of image of the, you know, the Apple computer.
Right.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see how this is going to play out, but the iPhone does have a huge lead in the market, and it's a big gamble, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens and how it plays out in the future.
Yeah, Adobe, if they sue them, if they try to go after this legally, Apple, according to this article mentions this, Apple has tons of cash and really enough legal firepower to take on just about anyone, any company, anywhere. So it'll get ugly if that happens. So get ready for a fight.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's the thing. It's also, I don't think the case is going to go anywhere, because there's so many different platforms out there. There's so many smartphones out there. It's not like the Apple's not the only game in town.
For sure.
It's not like they're holding a monopoly on smartphones and the smartphone applications. There's plenty of options out there. So I don't see it like it's an antitrust thing.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, let's move on to enough of the news, man. Let's talk about this right here.
Here's your stupid app of the week. Derp.
All right. Stupid app of the week this week. We're skipping new stuff because, again, too much news to worry about new stuff. Although, well, we'll talk about that later. Some cool new stuff happening. Anyway, moving on. Stupid app of the week. Machine Gun Life-Size HD. This game, this thing, it's not even a game. It's called Machine Gun Life-Size HD.
Does the HD mean it's for the iPad?
It does. It does indeed. 99 cents. Here's the description. With high-powered machine guns taken to all new level because size matters. Lifelike realism. This is as close to its real-life counterparts as it gets. Experience these incredible, this words aren't spelled right, near to life-size weapons as you are really. Wait, is there more there?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is kind of jacked up. Reload, shake to reload, conserve your ammo. True to life sounds, high definition sounds bring the intensity to even higher heights. Gun info, stats and information on the weapons. Basically, it's a picture of a gun on the screen and you push the pad to shoot it and hear it shoot. Why would you pay money for that? Okay. If you're a gun nerd, maybe. Maybe if you're a gun nerd. Like, are you a gun nerd, Eric?
I am not. I don't know too much about guns.
I know nothing about guns. Guns are stupid.
But I bet your neighbors do.
I know guns enough to know I like shooting them in video games. I like that. Bring me that. Anyway, don't spend your money on this. Totally dumb. Machine Gun Life-Size HD is your stupid app of the week. We have a segment this week. This comes to us from Patrick. Let's hear what he has to say from Gay Perry. Take it, Patrick.
Dès les premières lueurs, oh, je sens prêt.
Hey everyone, Patrick here with your weekly What the French from the streets of Paris. And today I have a super simple camera app. It's called Gorilla Cam, and it will simply add a few functions to the existing camera app, meaning it's a new app with more functions. It will do things like self-timer, anti-shake, or press anywhere on the screen to take the picture. little simple things. It's a free app, and that's it. Gorilla Cam, go try it. Short and sweet. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, Gorilla Cam, looking at it right now. Camera app for the iPhone, 4x digital zoom, self-timer, unlimited rapid fire takes, three-shot burst, quick takes, grid overlay, lets your photographer takes your photography to the next level, create more interesting photographs using the rule of thirds in your composition. Eric, sounds like something for you, dude.
Yeah, but there's a lot of apps that do the same thing. That night camera does all that.
Does it?
Yeah.
You're getting all crusty for some reason, but I think it's me.
I'm getting crusty?
Oh, I got it. There's a short in my. I gotta get a new mixer.
Yeah, your mixer can't handle all the podcasting.
I guess I'm putting it through the rigors of heavy duty podcasting. Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate it. May France continue to be where the ladies dance with no pants. Where else are we here? Our update corner. We already did.
Yes.
Let's get to reviews then, because that is that time of the show where we talk about the things we're playing, using, and whatnot. Oh, I have to play this.
Reviews. Levy.
Reviews. Reviews this week. Let's start with me. Once again, we always start with me. Camera A and B. So camera A is an application, and I forget which one it's for, like which one is A and which one's B, because one of them is for the iPod and the iPhone, and the other one is for the iPad, and I always forget which one. So let's see. I've got it right here. It is camera... B is for the phone. Okay. Camera B for the phone is free. Camera A for the iPad is $1. And here's what you do. People complain that the reason they aren't getting an iPad yet, or those who have it wish it had a camera. And we talked about this before on the show, that they should have a camera in that thing. And also, by the way, the people that are tearing iPads apart and looking at the guts say that there's a whole like layout in the upper corner of the circuit board where the camera stuff would go. So that has to make you a little ticked. Like they've already got the thing is designed to have a camera in it. They just decided not to put one in there or put the hole or whatever.
I don't know.
The camera's not there, but there's room for the camera. Anyway, you put camera A on the iPad, and when you run these two together and you have Bluetooth detecting on, the phone finds the iPad finds the phone, and suddenly, like magic, your phone is a remote camera for your iPad, and it freaking works, and it works great.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, there's a little lag.
Actually, that's kind of a nice solution, because I was thinking about it. If the iPad had a camera and I was out and about,
yeah,
I'd feel kind of stupid holding up my iPad taking a picture of something.
Well, yeah, no, it'd be ridiculous. Obviously, it would be the stupidest thing ever. But
if you had this, you just pick up your phone and snap a little picture, and it goes to your iPad. Yep. Kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've had to use it in a couple of situations, actually, like real situations with a client doing some artwork for him. Had to get a snapshot of something in the room and put it there. And like play around with it in the one of these apps I've been using and marking it up and such. And the only way I could do it was this way, and it worked great. 100% great. It was a nice, you know, shot. It looked just as good as it would on the phone. It supports zooming, so it has some built-in features as well. On the whole, it's super simple, and, you know, the feature that you want is there, which is take pictures with your camera remotely for your iPad. It's pretty neat. I'm going to say... with a little refinement, because it's just kind of ugly. The implementation's just like the menus are ugly. The button you push to take the picture on the iPad's really small. There's just some UI issues I would work on, but I'd love what the end result is. So I'm going to give it 3.5 stars.
Did they use Flash to develop it?
I don't know. Maybe they could have. You never know. 99 cents is all you'll pay for that combination. Again, the camera for the phone or for the phone is free, and the one on the iPad is 99 cents. It's like not even they couldn't make it free on the iPad because of the perceived value of the upsizing of these apps. But anyway, there's that.
I'd be interested. What if the future cameras will have Bluetooth, and you just when you're shooting?
I don't know. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
It'd be kind of cool.
I agree. Next up for us is a game for me called Sketch Nation Shooter. And there are plenty of you who have probably heard of this. It is a pretty cool game designed for the iPhone, works on the iPad just fine. In fact, I kind of prefer it on the iPad because you have more space. But it's in this line of kind of doodly games, you know, where it's like everything looks like it was drawn with crayons or pencils on paper or whatever. And at first glance, you just think, oh, well, it's another one of these, but this one's a shooter and it's kind of a top-down or side-scrolling shooter. There's a few games built in that you get to play and they kind of all play the same. And you're shooting these things, these objects out of the sky. And in the one, it's jet planes. And in the other scenario, it's a, I forget, like a bee or something, or butterfly or something flying side to side. Again, shooting objects, shooting ships, shooting things that are also shooting at you. Big boss fight at the end and so on. But then you realize what they've done here is this is like a user-generated game. They give you these examples, but what they want you to do is get an account, log in, and download other people's stuff. So people create these art packs and these layouts and these entire levels of games totally from scratch, and they use the game to build it. So it's still a shooter, but you get to design it.
Yeah, seeing that is very interesting.
What's really cool.
So you kind of create the sprites almost.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And what I'm excited about is these guys have contacted me and asked me to do an art pack for it. And I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but there'll be, you know, like small ships, big ships, boss battle stuff, the thing you control, I get to design. And of course, the goal will be to make it kind of sketchy and you know, like pencil on paper kind of looking stuff. And they'll integrate that into a pack so everybody can download that thing and play with it. I'm really excited to do that. I can't wait to do it. But as a standalone concept, before I talk to these guys, having played it and downloaded a bunch of games, and they're all, by the way, listed by most popular, most downloaded. I mean, it's easy to get your head around what the good downloads will be. It's really kind of awesome. And I feel like they've made something pretty special here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try it out and try to make my own little graphics pack.
Best part, 99 cents. Cheap. So watch for my art pack coming soon. It will be an official one that they'll release, and pick it up for yourself. 99 cents. I think it's awesome. I'm going to give it 4 stars out of 5. I think it's great. Has huge potential, and definitely one to keep your eye on. So check that out. Lastly,
that's
this
very cool. Have you figured out what your art pack's going to be?
No. But I've given it some thought. It's not going to be anything, like, I'm not going to theme it after App Slappy or, you know.
Oh, come on.
I could, but I don't know, dude.
Got to hide a derp in there somewhere.
I may. Maybe the boss will be a giant derp, whatever a derp is. The word derp, I guess. I don't know. I haven't decided, but I do want to get kind of creative with it and have some fun with it. So something I'm definitely looking forward to doing, and I'll probably have it put together here pretty quick. So announcement forthcoming. P-Calc Lite. Just want to mention this one. It's a calculator app. Nothing to say about it except that it works great.
It's amazing.
Why am I announcing this? Because the iPad, for some crazy reason, and we haven't talked about this on the show yet, didn't come with two apps that I'm just scratching my head as to why they're not on there. There's no calculator, and there's no clock, an alarm thing, like the phone comes with or the iPod comes with.
I heard that.
It's so stupid. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'll bet you in the fall when we get our big update, I'll bet that all is in there by then. It feels like they just didn't get around to making the versions for this that they wanted. Because even some of the other built-in apps that are also on the phone that Apple converted here aren't really reworked that much. You can tell that nobody went through all kinds of hoops to make a really rich experience on the iPad versus the iPhone version. So I think they just didn't get around to it.
I think maybe they're going to do they're reworking the whole clock thing.
And that may be. And if they do, great. I'll watch for that. And there are definitely some alarm apps out there that people might like as well. But they're just not on this thing. And it would be a perfect alarm thing for traveling and stuff. It's dumb to me that it's not there. But since there's no calculator, P-Calc Lite, that's P-C-A-L-C Lite. There's a pay version too. The free version, I think, has a little strip ad at the bottom. Works great. Does all the scientific calculations you ever need, all the basic stuff. Free, easy, great, full screen, get it. I just want to throw that out there. I'm not even going to review it because how do you review a calculator? It adds things. You know, if it was saying 2 plus 2 is 8, then I would say don't get it. But since it seems to be calculating my numbers correctly, it is what it is. So I wanted to throw that out. And now lastly, this is something I've been wanting to talk about for a while. I'm glad we're finally getting a show to talk about it. Over the last week, I have been trying to decide there's been a battle going on between Art Suite and Sketchbook Pro. And there are other drawing applications out for the iPad now. This is an iPad review.
I've been really impressed with what you've been churning out.
Yeah, and as it turns out, the stuff I'm sending out and putting on Twitter that people like is stuff I'm doing in Art Suite, which is only 99 cents. And the stuff I'm not happy with is in Sketchbook Pro, which is $8. And I'm not going to disparage Sketchbook Pro because I'm not done trying to figure out sort of the best way to use it or to get my head completely around it. But I do have to sing the praises of Art Suite. Hey guys, I had to bust in here really quick and let everybody know that for whatever reason, I don't know what was in my head, but I kept referring to Art Studio as Art Suite. I apologize. Bear with me. I wrote it down wrong. It is Art Studio, not Art Suite. All right, on with the show. Art Suite is only $1, which is a little shocking. It doesn't have quite the features that Sketchbook Pro does, but what it does have is so simple and well implemented and intuitive to use that I'm really having a fun time with it. And I think I'm creating pretty good work with it. It's also less laggy. The lines are smoother.
So you're getting a better reaction, like reaction time when you draw a line.
I am. And less of that.
That's key when you're drawing. You don't want something lagging behind.
Oh, it's almost everything in the experience. It's true when, you know, if you're using an older computer, a PC or a Mac, and you're trying to run a Wacom tablet, and that's a slow experience, that's horrible too. It's the same kind of issue. And I'm noticing some of that lag and slowdown in Sketchbook Pro where I'm not seeing it in Art Suite. Art Suite is just really low profile, small footprint, clean, easy way to use the thing. It supports layers, although it only supports 3 as opposed to the 6 you get with Sketchbook Pro.
Sexbook?
There's only 6 layers to Sexbook. Sketchbook Pro only has 6, and I wish that Art Suite had 6, but I've been able to work around it, and it's fine. You kind of live within those limitations, and hopefully that maybe will get patched and get a little bit more. But the brush control and pen control and line thickness and some of the blending stuff and what you can do with layers in terms of transparency and rotating and moving stuff and importing photos to like work on top of, all that stuff's really simple, fast, easy, simple tools, quick click here and you're doing what you want to do. I really like it. And I have some buyer's remorse about Sketchbook Pro. I thought that was going to be awesome. I'm watching Jim Lee and these guys online doing amazing work with Sketchbook Pro. And I'm kind of just, I don't know, I just feel like it's not that great. Like it's okay. But I feel like Art Suite, which came out of nowhere, nobody saw it coming, is for me and the way I like to draw quickly with my finger is definitely doing the trick for me. If you haven't seen some of the art I did for that, maybe I'll put some of that on the blog and you can kind of see what it's capable of doing.
I was going to say, crap, I forgot what I was going to say.
You're tired. That's what you are.
No. What was I going to say?
You have a wart you can't explain.
Let's see. You're talking about Art Studio. Yes. I have a challenge for you.
Oh, do it.
Create one of your comics in on the iPad.
Oh, I could totally do that.
You should do it.
Yeah, I think I will. I'll take your challenge.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'll do that.
The only thing is you'd have to do type on the computer.
I'll still do all that after. But the actual art I could do there. And that'd be interesting. You know, it's definitely, this isn't the fault of this or even Sketchbook Pro or any of these apps, but I really need a stylist to do things that aren't big and chunky and fun. And I'm definitely having fun doing those, but it's like finger painting. I mean, you're literally finger painting. And that is not the same as having a pen that you can be very, you know, specific with. And it's also truer to your training over 20 years of drawing and, you know, all of that. So I'm looking into some of these styluses that are out there, and hopefully I'm going to get one that I can review on the show. So watch for that.
Yeah, that's one. I was thinking about this, getting one of those stylists, but I'm just kind of concerned. I mean, because you talked about you have a Cintiq, right? And it's starting to show scratches, though, right?
Yeah, it's starting to show a little bit of wear, but I use it a lot.
But I'm thinking, but this is actually, is the Cintiq glass like the iPhone?
No, the Cintiq is not. The Cintiq is like a compact fiberglass style something. But it's not glass the way that the iPad or the iPhone is. So
I think the glass would hold up much better.
Yeah,
right?
In theory, the glass shouldn't scratch. In theory,
yeah.
But this stuff does. Even though this is really good high quality stuff, it definitely isn't glass. I mean, Apple's the first one to really come out with something that was truly glass on a touchscreen. with whatever their patented hooey, you know, stuff is. And the problem with these styluses too is they're big and fat, like they're big, thick.
Oh, really? It's not like a fine point?
No, not at all. Because the whole deal with this kind of stuff is you have to, first of all, you have to kind of reverse the polarity of the electrical whatever contact with the thing. The way you have to mimic what your finger does.
It has to have much more surface contact.
Correct. Correct. That's why they're fatter. But I'm still going to try it because even then, I still think I can get a lot more drawn with a stylus than I can do with my finger. But for something just to pick up and be creative for a half an hour, it's really kind of divine. I can't think of another word. It's really fun.
It's very cool.
Yeah, just simple and it feels very playful and like you're just, it's like when you're a kid and you just pick up something and grab a crayon and go. It kind of has that quality to it. So as a comparison between the two, at least right now at the time of this recording, I'm giving the lead to Art Suite. Not just for price. Let's forget about price, even though that is an advantage. 99 cents versus $8 is pretty good. And I don't know if that's an introductory thing or what, but I'm going to give that 4 stars right now, and I'm going to give Sketchbook Pro 2.5 or 3. And like I said, I may get my head around Sketchbook Pro better and figure out, oh, wow, what was I thinking? Blah, 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 whatever. But one of the things you like in an app is how quickly you can just pick it up and go, how intuitive it is. And right now, is that a word? May not be. Art Suite for 99 cents is way more intuitive than Sketchbook Pro in my estimation. I'd love to hear what some of you guys think about the two, but I can't recommend it enough. And for a buck, even if you like the other one, you should totally get it. Totally worth getting. And I'll tell you an example I did today real quick. So I'm with someone I do some contract work for, and I'd done some designs of some product designs for them. And today, very specifically, I said, all right, what's what I'm going to do? I emailed myself these two JPEG images I did of these mock-ups, and took my iPad to the meeting, opened the iPad up, hit import, or I'd already sort of saved these in the library on the photos for the iPad. I imported them out of that library, brought them up in Art Suite. And so they look like just, you know, big picture frame of this mock-up I did. And then when I presented it to these guys, they literally could take their finger and circle stuff they want to change, point an arrow to a part they thought was strong. You know, they could write all over this thing on a new layer on top of this mock-up. It was a really fun experiment in kind of that collaborative presentation stuff. Totally cool.
I could just see you look at my iPad and look at my mock-ups and go ahead and touch it.
Well, once they got past the kind of weirdness of he's having us touch his thing, you know, like I'm pulling the iPad out and it was just kind of they're not used to that. They're like, this is really cool. We could totally blah, blah, blah. We should buy, you know, so it's, it catches on this stuff. Anyway, that's that. Those are my reviews this week. That went really long. Sorry, but lots of stuff happening there. And seriously, Art Suite, dude, 99 cents, get it. All right, Eric, tell us about, what is Swankolab?
Swankolab.
Swank, that's what I meant. Swankolab.
Dude.
Swankolab.
Melodica and Swankolab.
So it's not Swankolab?
It's Swankolab.
All right. I don't know if that's much better, but go ahead.
Swankolab is from the fine makers of Hipstamatic.
Whoa. Reviewed by Eric Van Skyhawk right here on the show.
Yes, it's from the end. So what this is, it's a really cool concept. It what it is you import photos into this thing, and you're kind of into this virtual darkroom. Mm-hmm. And up on your top shelf, you have different chemicals that you can add to the bath. And so there's like a black and white chemical to convert your pictures to black and white. There's a whole bunch of different stuff, like ones that gives you warm blotches, stuff that gives you high contrast, one that ages your photos. You even have like little chemicals that add like vignettes to your photos, and you mix them up. Oh, look at you. And then you like you develop them, and you actually have your photo goes in the bath, and it actually has the you know, when you can tilt your phone and the photo moves to the bath, you know, to at what point you're tilting your phone, and then it gets hung up in like a little clip or like where your photos are drying. But the results are awesome. I have to say, I can't recommend it most. It gives the and it's cool because you're experimenting with what you don't know exactly what you're going to kind of get, which is kind of like the fun about it. And even to the point where even the order you add the chemicals is also going to change the outcome of the photo. So it is really cool.
Well, I like the what they name the chemicals: Grizzle Fix, Swanko Air Developer, Fantabra Magical something. They have a Noir chemical. So obviously, by mixing and matching these different kind of looks and styles of different like eras of film and stuff, you can come up with some crazy looks. What I want to do is this be cool like Uncle Stew thing, where I can make pictures that look like they were taken in like 1972, and then the film is aged and kind of yellowed.
Yep.
That's great. How much is this thing?
So it's $1.99, which isn't too bad. And I think it works with the iPad too. So if you want to play around with the iPad. What's kind of cool also is you can buy more chemicals for $1.99 to give you more chemicals. But the cool thing about it is actually it's a lifetime subscription, which means so every time there's an update, you get more chemicals for free.
Oh, interesting.
It's like a one-time subscription fee. And I can't say enough about it. If you like the looks that you're getting from Hipstamatic, I'm just telling you, it's not for the iPad. That's so surprising.
Yeah. No, it looks really cool.
But I definitely get like 4 out of 5 stars on this one, or maybe even 4.5 out of 5.
Wow.
So the only thing is when you have it on high res mode, because it takes a while for them to develop, you know. So that's the only downside, but I can see why it does that. But I see you're intrigued, aren't you?
Yeah, I kind of am. You can see me digging through the pages here. Very excited. That seems cool. I may get it. It doesn't look like the version they have is native to the iPad, so that's something to consider.
This came out after the iPad, which is kind of surprising. I thought this was their kind of entry into it, because it was like you can't take photos, and the only thing that Hipstamatic works is with taking photos, and there's no post-processing going on in that.
There's something we forgot to mention, and that is that we had said we didn't know how app developers are going to handle getting iPad versions of their apps out, and it turns out they've done a little bit of everything. They've said, hey, here's an update to one that's on the phone, but just use it on the iPad and it's fine, but it's still the phone thing. There have been others who've said, no, buy our new version for $10 or more money than the old one you bought. And then there's plenty of people who are doing the whole, this is a universal app that works on either or, and if it's on the one, it formats to the one, and on the other, it formats to the other. So it's been interesting to watch how that all worked out. Talk about Adobe Ideas. I'm using the iPad version. I'm excited to hear how the phone version is, because I think this has a lot of potential.
I sent you a picture I did with this app, and you said you had been working with it on the iPad.
Yeah.
And what I thought was really cool about it's very, very like minimal what you can do with it. You get one pen, and one layer, and that's it, and eraser, pretty much. But the cool thing about this is when you do a stroke, it converts it to vector.
Right.
So, which means that once you do a stroke and it goes to vector, it means it becomes resolution independent, which means whatever picture you do on this thing can be printed in any size you want it to be. You can do a huge poster and it'd be crystal sharp.
Yeah.
And also, I noticed because, like, you know, I mean, I don't know on the iPad, because you're using this on the iPad, right?
Yeah, I'm using the iPad version.
Because on the iPhone, you know, your lines aren't perfectly straight, because it's just how small the device is, but it actually straightens your lines out, you know? It actually kind of makes them smooth and a little less squiggly thing going on there, which is kind of cool. And also what they have is they have this really cool thing where you import a photo. They have one section where you organize your ideas or your little doodles, and they also have one where you can have color themes and color palettes. And what happens is when you import a photo, it actually look at the photo and automatically pick the colors or a color theme from that photo.
Yeah, so if you have a photo and you're thinking to myself, man, I wish I knew what the best web colors to use to build a web page around this photo would be, or I want to use this photo as the centerpiece of a website, it will go through that thing and find the five color palette theme that you would want to use for future work that would match and feel good in that, you know, what the complementary colors are, what the primaries are going to be. It's great. Very cool how they do that.
Yeah, that's the color themes is really cool. But it's very limited. It has one brush. You can adjust the size and the opacity of the brush. But that's it. But I think the cool thing was the whole vector aspect of it. Because what happened is what it saves the image as a PDF.
Yeah, layered PDF, myself, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't try a photo thing.
I might be thinking of
Sketchbook does layers.
Yeah, Sketchbook does layers. That's right.
The thing is, I sent myself the PDF and I opened it up on my computer and I was zooming in like 1,000%, but the line was still like sharp as a tack.
Yeah, the them going with the vector route also has another nice effect, which is it auto corrects your line straightness. So if you're doing a circle, it's kind of wonky when you first put it in. You'll see it immediately sort of fixed to a better circle. So they're using things they do a lot in Illustrator and in Flash. When you're drawing directly on the screen, there's a lot of that kind of auto correction happening. And I really like it too. I think it's pretty cool. I just wish it had more features. I wish I could do.
Yeah, it'd be great to have more layers. But the whole vector thing, I don't know how much more they could do with the brushes,
right?
Since it's a vector based thing.
Right.
Because you're not going to really get super soft edges, I don't think, with a vector based system.
Yeah, but quick sketches and concepts and stuff, it's pretty good for that.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
And it's from Adobe and it's free.
Yeah, I kind of hope they keep updating it and doing stuff with it because I think it has potential. And if you think they can't do anything super detailed, just look at this rooster on screen chat room. I mean, that's pretty dang good. And that's all vector lines. So I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of vector generally, like when I'm making art, but for quick whipped out sketches and stuff, this isn't bad.
Could you imagine doing like a huge poster of your artwork though?
Oh, dude. It'd be amazing. That chicken would hang on the wall right there. That rooster, I guess. I guess it's not really a chicken.
Anyway, the rooster.
All right. What would you give it?
So anyway, I'd give it like a 3.5 out of 5. Just because it's lacking in, you know, in some of the stuff. I wish I had more layers. Would be awesome if you could do more layers. Because I could see doing a full on cartoony thing with it if you could actually have like a dark line over, you know, and fill it in and stuff like that. And there's not even a fill bucket, which is kind of stupid. It would be nice to have some type of fill bucket, but I think it's promising. I think the future updates is going to have some good stuff.
Do you worry that Adobe
from Adobe, who knows if we'll ever see any update?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you worry that they'll back off developing cool apps like this and you know, like their photo app, the Photoshop Junior or whatever the heck it was called? I still use that. For quick stuff.
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because this just came out last week. You know?
Yeah. I feel like there's a part of them that wants to be a part of this and there's another part that wants to fight. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's.
We'll see. Kind of like Google. All right. Apple needs to be careful, dude. They can't get in too many fights with too many really important companies. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, I was thinking, what if like they. Adobe pulled CS5, you know, from the Macs.
Oh my gosh, dude, I'd be pooping bricks.
I know.
I need it to survive. They can't do that. Oh my gosh.
CS5 is amazing. Did you see the stuff you can do in Photoshop CS5?
Yeah, I gotta get it. Pre-order it. It's not out yet.
Creative Suite 5, Adobe Creative Suite.
I'm eligible for the upgrade, but it's expensive.
it's pretty much Photoshop, Illustrator,
People are asking in the chat room.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric is like, it's like a shiny little rock, the chat room. All right, moving on. Emails. Let's talk about emails. We got one from...
Maybe the listeners out there don't know what CS is. Well, maybe even the listeners. I'm helping the listeners
out. I'm kidding. So Nate.
Screw you.
Nate sent us an email that said, "Hey, Scott and Eric, I made a couple of graphs about the various things that you can..."
Email. I was like, what the crap? This is a long email.
It is. Well, I'm going to read a little bit of it. It's graphs about the various things you can grow in WeRule and thought you might be interested. Basically, it's a comparison of XP per minute to the dollar per minute value that you get from each item. I won't read the whole email, but basically, the way it turns out, if you can manage your crops on a more frequent basis... It's better to be doing short-term crop growth than the long-term stuff. So the 10-hour stuff is not as profitable than, say, strawberries or something that's like an hour. You just have to keep getting back there and harvesting it more often. But if you do that, you'll make way more money in 10 hours. Like 10 times with an hour growth item and checking it every hour for 10 hours is way more profitable than just letting your peppers grow for 10 hours. And so,
but what about, is it XP the same way?
The XP, well, the charts sort of show this. So basically he says this, what does it teach us? If you have time to tend to them, planting things with a shorter harvest time will increase your XP and coins considerably more. Eric mentioned that his strategy was to plant peppers, which is good if you can only tend to the game every 10 hours. If you find yourself checking in between harvests, then you should be planting something with a shorter grow time. Plant something that, and then set a timer to ring when the time is ripe, or have the, you know, you can have it push notify you or whatever. It has served me well. Thanks for the great show. So to maximize that, you do shorter growth crops, and you will end up with more XP and more money in the end. And I'll send you this thing.
The bonus, like the XP, the bonus of the XP of shorter crops is not as big as the money bonus.
Right. So I'm sure that's
the thing
true.
Is, I did the 10 hours one just because I just like overnight or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
you do the 10 hour one when you can't check it overnight, and then do like I do pumpkins, which is 3 hours. I'll just do that like 3 times a day. So I think I was already kind of on the road that they want us to be on. But anyway, thank you, Nate, who sent that in. Also, we got another best crop proficiency doc from Mitch P., who broke it down even further. I may make these available to the link in the show notes, because this would be fun for people to look over. They're just a spreadsheet and a Word document. So there's that. All right, got another one. Says, oh, we got a bunch. Geez, you put a whole bunch in here.
I just put two.
Hello, Scott and Eric.
Two more.
They're
short. They're not like the novel you just read.
This is Gustavo. You're grouchy tonight. This is Gustavo from Puerto Rico. I know this is not app related, but it's making me crazy that every car charger I buy for my iPhone makes the audio get static noise. I haven't found one charger that works, and I know it's not my car because I have it on in other cars too. Just what you might recommend. Love the show. Big fan. Thanks, Steve. Or excuse me, Gustavo. Don't know how to say your last name.
Aviles.
I don't have this problem.
Aviles.
I have two chargers, two different cars. I don't have any static.
Now, this is my question to him. How is he connecting to a stereo?
Oh, yeah. Because if he's going through like the stereo port in the front.
Yeah.
He could be getting feedback there. I don't do that. Mine's, in one case, it's just a remote. Just a charger. Like it doesn't do any kind of broadcast or whatever. It's not an FM transmitter. But then I have one that's the FM transmitter, and that thing works great. And when I'm doing just the charger, I usually have my headphones on, and that sounds fine. I'm not getting any feedback in there. So that's a really good point.
So we need a little more information because I have a charger with an FM transmitter thing, and I don't get any type of feedback type of thing. But the line out, it was interesting because when I was working on the Melodica competition type of thing.
Melodica
competition, which I did pick a winner, and I'm working on the song, and I have a really good start on it. So sweet. Next week we'll have it ready to go. But I noticed I was charging it on my computer, but when I was trying to record the part that won, and I was getting some weird kind of feedback stuff until I unplugged it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because I was doing a line out type of thing.
Okay. Interesting.
So that could be your problem. And then I would just suggest either don't charge your phone where you're listening to music in your car, or unless you're doing TomTom navigation, and then it's a must to have your car charger. Or just get one of those FM transmitters and that should work for you. Okay.
Yeah. Or reach out the top of your car, hold your antenna, put your tongue on the wheel, and then suck in with your nose. Should go away. We'll be fine. Hey guys, unfortunately, I somehow lost my iPod Touch at my college campus the other day. I did not have any kind of tracking software installed on it. Is there any way I can find it using the serial number? Thanks, Kurt. Well, what kind of tracking software could you put on there?
I don't know.
Because it's an iPod, so that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You know what? He's kind of out of luck, isn't he? I mean, serial number you can use by like putting it out there on Craigslist or something or somewhere and saying, looking for lost so-and-so at such-and-such campus and contact.
Pretty much it's gone, dude.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting it back.
The iPod Touches don't have a GPS on them.
No.
So
they don't have any kind of that kind of stuff. So you're kind of hosed, Kurt. Sorry, Kurt.
But it's funny. I got a lot of emails. I got one email recounted about a guy drunken party night, and his iPhone went missing. He didn't have MobileMe. And then I got another a whole bunch of stuff about I did this, my iPhone, I lost this anyway. And they're always asking, should I get a new phone or should I wait for the summer for the brand new phones? And let me tell you, people, please do not get a new iPhone right now. That'd be a stupid thing to do.
Oh, yeah, either one. Especially don't get a 3G, the $99 one.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you're going to be kicking yourself in a few months. I mean, if you can hold on. I know it's tough. I'm going through the same thing with the iPad right now. I really want one, but I know it's my best interest to wait for the 3G because they're going to come out with a crazy new phone with a touchback feature, flash on the camera, all this new stuff, and you're going to be like, oh, why did I buy this phone?
Yeah.
And then plus, even if this new phone is not for you, you can actually, the phone that you want, like in a 3GS, is going to be cheaper.
Yeah, that one's going to replace the 3G. And keep in mind, if you bought a 3G now, you'd kind of be hosed in a whole new way because Steve made it clear that the 3G would not do a ton of this new features in 4.0.
And if you had the multitasking, it's not going to be doing. I think this in the summer, the 3G phone is going to be phased out completely.
Of course. And 3GSs will be 99 cents or $99 or something like that, probably, because they want to keep that entry-level cost thing, and then they'll have this brand-new awesome phone that we're all going to want. So wait. Oh, my gosh, wait.
So, yeah, don't buy a new phone, guys. Just wait.
There you go. High advice from Eric Van Skyhawk. We have some calls. Let's rip through these. I got a number of these this week.
Hey, App Floppy guys. I was listening to the iPhone 4.0 keynote today, and I was devastated to find out that the 4.0 firmware will only work with the iPhone 3GS and iPod Touch 3rd generation. I don't know what I'm going to do now because I'm still on the 3G iPhone. I've been looking at the T-Mobile HDC HD2, and that looks really sweet, but I love my iPhone. I don't know whether to switch or to stay, because what Apple does, they might make it work with the iPhone 2G and 3G and all the other iPod Touches. I don't know whether I should switch or stay with it. I was just looking for some advice. Thanks.
Okay, well, basically, it's what we just talked about, but I think in his particular case, if you're looking at a fancy new HTC and you got a, I mean, I'm going to assume that his phone is jailbroken because he's on T-Mobile and doesn't have a contract.
Oh, he said he was just looking at the T-Mobile.
Well, that may be the case, but let's say you're either way.
Because if he was jailbreaking, he'd be multitasking right now.
Yeah, and if that's the case, you're going to have to buy a new phone without contract, which is going to cost you a ton of money anyway. If you're on contract, just go to AT&T or Apple and up your phone. You're going to pay less. You might pay $199 or something for the new phone. This is a little bit of a guess because we don't know yet. But if it's like the last gen change, it was really a simple deal, and they did it for everybody who asked. So it's not as big of an expense as you think. In other words, you'll probably spend as much or more getting this new HTC thing than you will the new iPhone, is my guess, if you're on contract. But if you're not, and it's jailbroken, that's a different issue. Because then you're paying full price for these phones, and it's outrageous.
See, I'm so glad I just went straight through to the 2G to the 3GS, and I don't have to worry about this.
Well, I didn't have to at all, remember? They changed it for me last second. Like, remember that whole deal where they said, like 2 days before launch, they said, all right, everybody complaining that they have to pay the $499 or whatever. You don't. You can come in. We'll extend we'll back the day thing up, like, 2 days or whatever they did, or 2 months, and I got in, so it was good.
Hey guys, Sean from St. Louis here. I have a question about the app ToneCloud Pro that Eric mentioned a little while ago. I love making ringtones with this app, but after I email and load the ringtones up on my iPhone, they seem to be really distorted. I'm wondering if you've run into this and have any solutions. Also, I'd love to import and play around with these files in GarageBand, but I can't find any info on importing M4Rs. which I think is a little weird since you can save files as M4Rs, but apparently can't load them. Thanks for any help you can give on this. Derp.
They're sounding distorted, huh?
Yeah, what would you do? What would you try? Because you're the only one right now in this room, this virtual room we're in, that knows how to do this. Because I don't know how you're doing it.
It's interesting. You can't open up the M4Rs in GarageBand.
Yeah, that's what he says.
I'd have to look into that. Let me look into it, and I'll give an answer next week.
All right. Stay tuned.
Unless you want me to wait and open up GarageBand right now.
No. We'll wait until next week. That's perfect. We'll give a big fat answer next week. That'll be awesome. This guy has issues.
Whenever I open an application on my iPod Touch, I have to put in my password, and nothing happens when I do. It happens every time I open any application that connects to the internet. Do you know why this is?
First of all, because you're listening to Tainted Love in the background. Second of all, I don't know, dude. Like, what the hell? What is up with a guy whose iPhone tries to ask for his iTunes password every time he tries to launch
it? Did
he
say it was
on
an iPhone or an iPod Touch?
iPod Touch.
What I'm thinking, because every time this happens to me, is if an application was being downloaded or updated and it didn't quite go through the whole process that it needed to,
yeah,
it'll constantly ask for my iTunes password.
And try to download it again, right?
Yeah, or do something like that. So,
if it's happening with every app he pushes, though, that's crazy.
No, what I'd do is I would probably do a restore, like back the phone up or your iPod Touch and just restore the whole thing back to. That should hopefully solve his issue.
Yeah, that's what I was going to recommend.
I think there's something weird thing going with the applications, but I hope that would work.
I don't think he has any choice. I think that is what he has to do next. And if it still doesn't work after that, it's off to the Apple Store with you. Tainted Love.
Hi, guys. Greetings from Pittsburgh. I just had one quick question. I'm wondering if you guys agree with me that Apple should include a landscape option in our main home screens, the screens with the icons. I'm kind of surprised they don't do this because everything these days is landscape TVs and everything's kind of going that direction. So just wondering if you agreed with me and curious about your thoughts. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. The iPad already does. And I immediately was, my immediate reaction when I got the iPad was, oh my gosh, now I want to do that on my phone and my phone won't do that. Did they even touch on that in the keynote? Because I don't think they did.
I don't think they did either.
I don't think it came up. And I don't know that it's I don't know if that's even a priority for them, if they're even thinking about it.
I don't think they're going to, because this is why I think that.
Okay.
Say you're getting a phone call, right?
Yeah.
You pull your phone out of your bag. You pull it landscape, right?
Yeah.
And then your lock, or to answer the call, is on the side of the screen. But then when you know, it's kind of a wonky thing, like, oh, what, I need to get this phone call, but it's flipping around and I can't get to the unlock or the, switch.
Right. I mean, they could lock that, though.
That means like a whole the phone doesn't have a lock switch on it.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, they could make it so that part of the phone thing only opens that way. Like there's no other option but the long way.
Landscape. Yeah, that's true.
So there's ways around it. But I'll say this, having used it now and having it do landscape on the thing, the iPad orientation is much different than the phone. The phone is almost like a true 16:9 type display where the width, if you're holding it upright, the width of it is almost double, is almost that times two for the height of the phone. Whereas on the iPad, it's closer to square. It's not square, but it's much closer to square. So your bottom or your dock area doesn't go from super thin on the phone. If you turn it on the side, it would go to super wide. It goes from normal to sort of a little bit wider than normal. Like it's just not as drastic. And I think that there's that whole proportional issue that they probably won't do it for. But maybe they will. Hopefully we'll get lucky and you'll get it, because I think that'd be cool.
Hello, Scott, and good day to you, Eric. This is Chris, the Segway riding pirate from Pennsylvania. I just wanted to say, I'm slapping kicks ass. Yes, and I enjoy your show very much. And as always, I'd like to say,
I love that show.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah, best call ever.
Beatboxing pirate.
Yeah,
that seemed to shove the phone in his mouth at the end there.
I think that guy called us one other time with that phone in the mouth thing.
Yep.
And I don't think that's his real accent.
And, really? From Pennsylvania?
And I don't think he's riding around on a Segway. The whole thing's a lie. Everything's a lie about that. Awesome. Anyway, thank you for that. We love your calls. We love your emails. Please send those. Continue to send those emails to, with your attachments and audio and stuff, right from the voice memo app on the iPhone. You can send those right to appslappy@gmail.com. And visit us on the web. The site is appslappy.com. And the Twitter to follow is twitter.com/appslappyshow. Or you can follow us individually. I'm at Extra Life, and Eric is at Hakito, not Wakito, like some have said.
Not Hakatu.
Hakatu. Also, don't forget to use GoDaddy codes next time you're at GoDaddy buying a domain or getting a renewal. Use App1 when you're checking out. I keep doing that because I wrote it in here. Ugh. Take it out. App1. App1's the code.
Frog is taking over everything.
Yes. Don't pay $10 when you can pay as little as $7. And always good deals happening there. Get your next.com name at GoDaddy.com. Thanks to them for sponsoring the show. And that's going to do it for us. Anything else you want to say, Eric, before we close out? Been a long show.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have nothing to say.
Sounds good to me. That's going to do it for us, everybody. Make sure you check out the full lineup of shows at frogpants.com. Just added a couple of shows this week, including Coverville from our friend Brian Ibbett. You can find that in the Master Frog Pants feed that will be at the bottom of the show notes for this episode of App Slappy, so you can check that out there. And I think that's it for us, for me, for Eric, for everybody who is involved in this show. Thank you so much for your help. Tons of stuff coming up after we finish talking here, so listen in for that. There's plenty more content to come, and we'll see you next week for show up. Let's see, what's next week? Next week will be show number 43. Until then, take care.
Later.
Thank you for listening to App Slappy. For more great iPhone, iPod, and App Store coverage and archives of this show, visit appslappy.com.
Hey Scott and Eric, I just wanted to ask you whether you have already checked out Field Runners for the iPad. Because it's a great game on the iPhone, or in my case, on the iPod Touch 2nd generation. So please get it and make a review and tell us what you think of it in HD. By the way, I really like your podcast, and please keep going. Bye.
Hello, Scott and Eric. This is The Robot. I know, Scott, that you've recently decided to only review games. Ha ha. But today, I wanted to talk about an application designed specifically for the phone. After all, it is called an iPhone. This app really enhances the phone, so I'd like to talk about that. The app is called Faces Visual Photo Dialer. I know that's a mouthful, but what this app does is really enhances the contact list and speed dial of your iPhone. You tap the icon, pages come up. Each page can be what you want it to be. Family, speed dial, friends, work. And on each page you have an icon for whoever you put into that page. So I can tap a photo of my mother and it dials my mother. I hold down the photo of my mother and all her contact information comes up and I can do whatever I want with it. This is really a great app and it makes dialing so much easier. Two taps and I've got the person I want to talk to. I can set up the pages any way I want. Import icons, contact information. Really great application. I know it's not a game, but I really think it's an important app. Thank you. Derp.
Tainted love.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Tainted love.